This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Warning, this story discusses domestic violence. If you or someone you know is affected, please seek help. Call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. Relationships Australia on 1300 364 277 or QLife on 1800 184 527.
Joy Law. Jack Andy. Joy Law.
This is Joy Law, the segment where we chat to the team from KHQ Lawyers about legal issues of interest or concern to the LGBTIQ community and its allies. And today, I got all the letters out, didn't I?
Yes.
I always worry that I'm going to miss one. But today we're going to talk about the very serious topic of domestic violence. And joining us live in the studio is Bronwyn. Hey, Bronwyn, how are you doing?
Hey, Bronwyn. Hey. Hi, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, the trouble is there. There we go.
Thank you for that.
So, domestic violence is a serious topic, and we hear about family violence or domestic violence a lot in the media, but what's the legal definition of family violence?
Yeah, unfortunately, we do hear about it often on the media and in other forums. For us as lawyers, family violence is defined in the Family Law Act. So, in that act, it says that family violence is violent, threatening, or other behaviour by one person that coerces or controls a member of that person's family or causes the family member to be fearful. So, it's a pretty broad definition. Mm-hmm. And often when we meet clients for the first time, if they're separating, one of the first questions that we ask is, you know, do you feel safe? Do you feel fearful around your partner? Are there any sort of issues in that regard? And often they'll say, no, you know, my partner sometimes says these things or does these things, but they would never physically hurt me. So no, you know, I haven't experienced domestic violence. And while physical and sexual violence are very serious examples of family violence, there are many other different categories that family law recognises as domestic or family violence. So some examples, I guess, of those, stalking someone, keeping them under surveillance. So there's a lot of ways that people do that using different types of technology these days.
Like social media stalking.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, checking in places and whatnot.
Yeah. It's also, it can be taunts, repeated taunts to a partner, intentionally damaging property or causing harm to an animal, which is awful, of course. Withholding financial support from someone who's dependent on you for that support. Stopping someone from having relationships with their family members, friends, or interacting with their culture. And there's another category, which is unlawfully depriving someone of their liberty, which is quite serious. It obviously means stopping someone from doing things that they would otherwise have the autonomy to do.
And you said that sometimes it's with relationships breaking down, so it can be like a partner or a spouse, but it doesn't have to just be a partner or a spouse. It could be a grandparent or another member of the family, an older brother perhaps, or sister.
Yeah, it's a family member under the Act. So yeah, it's definitely not just limited to, you know, someone that you're married to or someone that you're in a de facto relationship with. And, you know, to that end, it also affects more than just, you know, a spouse or a de facto partner. If there's a child as part of the equation, obviously domestic violence can be perpetrated directly against the child, but it's also family violence if the child is exposed to.
Well, this is it, isn't it? The kids see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They see and hear everything.
Yeah. They're incredibly perceptive. So yeah, you're quite right. If they see or hear anything, you know, any of the examples that I've just given previously, if they see or hear that, that's them being exposed to family violence. But it's also, it even goes further than that. It's, they can be exposed to family violence if they are the ones having to comfort a parent who's just been assaulted or clean up after property has just been damaged in the home. You know, that counts too. Like these experiences leave lasting impression on children.
You know, kids grow up too quickly. I mean, sort of hear that it's not good, is it?
No one should be exposed to that, especially not little bubs.
Yeah.
Little bubbies.
Yeah. So, you know, we can discuss this in a little bit more in detail later, but yeah, there are certainly ways to protect children as well as sort of the what we would you might consider to be the more direct recipients of domestic violence.
Well, that's right, actually just a flag there. We are going to be exploring the issue of domestic violence and family violence over the next couple of weeks. So if you do have a question that you want us to address on the show, 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au, and we'll make sure that we are prepared to answer your questions.
Yes.
So what are some of the triggers, I guess, or the risk factors related to family violence?
Yeah, probably the most common one and the one that we see the most is separation. So people often come to us saying, you know, I want to separate or I'm in the process of separating, and I'm a bit nervous about how the other party's going to take that, given their past behaviour or just the stress of this situation. So that's a big one. Pregnancy is another big one, statistically.
Well, that can trigger family violence.
Yeah, it can. Oh. It's a really stressful time. Sometimes one party to a relationship can want the pregnancy and another, and the other does not, and that can cause a great deal of conflict. The woman is generally very vulnerable during that time. So, yeah, statistically, that's quite a dangerous time in terms of family violence. Periods of significant financial strain, so someone loses a job or there's significant debt to deal with. Obviously, we know that can cause a lot of ongoing conflict. Yes.
Dean wouldn't know what that's like.
What? She's my credit card. Keep charging you to the card. We'll sort it out later. Can't take it with you. You can't take it with you.
It's a much better method. And then, of course, there's untreated mental health issues or substance abuse problems as well can certainly be a factor there.
It's just, I mean, I think, you know, the mental health issues and substance abuse are often entwined, aren't they? It's often just one or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be incredibly complex, and it can be, someone can be seeking treatment for, you know, one or either of those things and be doing well, but then they could come across some of the other stresses that we've just listed you know, it can really throw things.
Relapse.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of an ongoing battle. You need to be conscious of it at all times.
Now, of course, in the gay community, in the LGBTIQ rainbow community, some of our issues can be slightly different, or maybe not as well understood.
Yeah.
So what might be some of the issues relating to the LGBTIQ community?
Yeah. Well, I think you're quite right that some of the examples of family violence that you might get to see would be a bit different. So some unique examples in this space could be threatening to, you know, quote unquote, out someone, or expose HIV status
or
the examples go on. But those are some sort of unique examples. And of course that can have absolutely devastating effects on someone's, you know, personal relationships, employment relationships, all of those sorts of things. But if someone is using those things as a method to control you, to do something or not do something or go somewhere or whatever it is.
We just feel unsafe.
That is family violence. And, you know, I think anecdotally, you know, we think that members of the LGBTQI community experience rates of domestic violence probably in much the same way that heterosexual communities experience it, though they probably do experience some extra sort of barriers to seeking help due to discrimination.
Well, exactly. That's why, you know, the great work of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Service, where trying to destigmatise and also make the accessibility of police officers so people can feel more comfortable stepping up and saying, I believe that I've been treated poorly.
Yeah, absolutely. And not having someone, look at you sideways and saying, oh, but, you know, but that relationship doesn't really fit the criteria. I can't imagine, that two women or two men or two people who identify otherwise could have these issues.
Mm. Get me a glow. That's what you say.
That's
please.
Right. That's right. Glow up.
It's our new motto.
So, Bronte, what should we do if you're experiencing family violence?
So if you're experiencing family violence, you should call the police if you feel like your safety is in immediate risk, or the safety of your children or anything like that. Call the police. You should also see a lawyer, because a police or a lawyer can obtain an intervention order on your behalf. They can make an application on your behalf. And so they can do that, so you have some interim protection while you make some other arrangements for your safety and to carry
on with
your life.
But get safe first before you start.
Yeah, absolutely. First, get safe. Yep. So an intervention order can stop a perpetrator of family violence from continuing to perpetrate that family violence. It can stop them coming within a certain distance of you or your home or your school or work. It can stop them from damaging property, publishing things about you on the internet. It can stop them communicating with you, except for some limited circumstances, like, say, through a lawyer or that sort of thing. It can force them to surrender any weapons that they have, because that's obviously quite a scary one. And they also can't get anybody else to perpetrate family violence against you on their behalf. So they can't have somebody else follow you around or, you know, damage your property on their behalf. That would be a breach of an intervention order for them as well.
I was wondering with intervention orders, I guess they are enforceable, but it's not like you're getting police surveillance to make sure that somebody is complying with the terms.
No, you're not. And we often do hear that, you know, how is this going to protect me?
It's
just a piece of paper. So we hear that. We definitely hear that when it's a situation of intense family violence and the fear is, you know, very significant.
Yes.
I guess the thing that should comfort you is the enforcement around an IVO, it carries some pretty significant penalties. So if there's a breach of a term of an intervention order, you can be imprisoned, you can be fined, you can be on a good behaviour bond, or there's an array of penalties that can apply. So although, you know, you are probably still going to be fearful because of your history with that person, rest assured that as long as you are, you know, making sure that you're reporting any breaches or anything that you think might be a breach, rather than sort of just letting them go by because you don't want to inflame the situation.
That's right. I guess you want to set a clear boundary as well. You don't want to...
Absolutely. You don't want to get the interim or final intervention order and then not enforce it yourself. So if you do notice that there's a breach, do bring it to the police's attention or, you know, tell your lawyer so that something can be done about it and those boundaries can be set up right from the start really clearly.
Look, I think that's really good advice. So, look, Bron, what else can we do to make ourselves feel safe?
There are lots of other things. So often we engage with other organisations, basically security groups, mm-hmm. who we liaise with, who go around and meet people who are affected by family violence. They can do a sweep of your home to make sure that it's as secure as it possibly could be. So that's, you know, making sure that everything locks properly, there's no way to access the property that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
They can also do like technology sweeps. So they'll look at your phone, they can look at your vehicle, they can see if you're being tracked in any way that you, again, didn't know about.
I'd be being tracked for all I know.
I'm tracking you.
Surprise me.
I know you didn't invite me to movies.
But yeah.
You say cute.
Oh, no, it doesn't quite suit, does it? So, you know, there are organisations that are there to help.
Give you peace of mind.
Yeah, absolutely, just to make you feel as secure as you could be in the circumstances. And as always, you know, go see a lawyer. We can help. We can help hold your hand through the IVO process if that's what you need. We can put you in touch with these groups. We can give you all sorts of advice. So.
But the key message is don't suffer in silence. Reach
out. Absolutely not.
If you are in immediate danger, speak to the police and then speak to a lawyer and get some good advice.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Bronwyn. We look forward to speaking with you or the team from KHQ Lawyers next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If this story has raised any concerns for you or someone you know is being affected by domestic violence, please seek help. Call Lifeline on 131114. The Domestic Violence Hotline on 1800 RESPECT. That's 1800 737 732. Relationships Australia on 1300 364 277 or QLife on 1800 184 527.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.